Thank you very much, Brother Jeremy.
And Brother Frank, your special's coming on this week, right? You're from Murphytown. Okay, remember that. Pray for it. The latest of Brother Frank's the gospel specials that he puts on television from Murphytown at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. That's quick. And praise the Lord for it. And the next one, I guess that's coming up soon, but if you're able to get a chance to see, not just from Marsh Harbor Chapel, but the ministry of Agape Christian School, we'd appreciate your prayers for this, because the school has, it's growing, and we have a problem. We need more space. the school is up to around 260 children, and the children come from as far away as Sandy Point, which is 104 miles round trip every day to come to school. And two of our staff members come from Sandy Point, and they come from all of the settlements, all of the communities, right along through into Cooperstown area, and from all the Keys. Pray for the school. Pray for the work. If you're on the Internet, you'd like to get an idea of what the school is doing, it's simply www.agape.com. agape-school.com. That's it. And pray for the school. Pray for us, too. We appreciate your words of encouragement and for the receptiveness to God's word. I've been coming to Spanish Wells almost as long as Brother Frank. And, in fact, I came with Brother Frank the first summer, went out. And I thank God for his ministry over the years. And we've sought to do that. He did that with me, and Brother Frank and Brother Tom and myself have done that with others. And we thank God that some of these men are in the work today, because someone took a little bit of effort. And this Bible study, tremendous thing for young men to go and hear and be able to get away. No distractions. And to be there. And it's just a different experience. Once a year, Marsh Harbor Assembly goes out to Camp Abaco. And we do that on the Labor Day weekend. And this is going to be 11th, I think, year we've had our retreat. And it's a similar thing. We have somebody come and speak, a time where we can just relax and have fellowship. And it's a good experience. We've been blessed by it. Well, let's read this evening from Exodus, just a section in chapter 14. And then just a few verses from chapter 14 of the book of Exodus. And again, thank you for your kindnesses shown to me. And as always, we thank you and bless you and pray you be blessed in the Lord's name. Exodus 14, and we pick up our reading in verse 13. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry out to me, or cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hands over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." We'll stop there, and for sake of time, but we're looking at some other verses as we go along. The Red Sea experience in the life of the children of Israel is one that is probably the greatest in the history. As you read through the Psalms and the Old Testament, yes, the redemption from Egypt, but when the prophets and the writers of the Psalms wanted to talk about God's power, they would refer to the Red Sea experience. The children of Israel being brought through the sea. You see, the Lord showed them that there had to be blood applied when they left Egypt. He emphasized the truth that without shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. But now they're in a different experience. And God is going to demonstrate to them His power. They saw His redemptive power, His delivering power. Now He's going to show and demonstrate His power in a different way, in a new way. He's going to demonstrate His power as their Savior God. And as they come to the Red Sea, the news arrives, or the news comes, that Pharaoh and the Egyptians have changed their mind. You remember when they left Egypt, the Egyptians encouraged them, get out, because of the death of the firstborn in all of the land of Egypt. And it's amazing how people will act when unsaved folk will act and sorrow comes. And they will seem to be receptive. But I've seen many people who, and I'm sure you have too, that not too long after that period of sorrow is passed, they seem to go back to their old ways. They return and they seem to forget whatever promises they made. Some people make promises. God, if you will only raise me up, I will serve you the rest of my life. And perhaps you know some people have made a promise like that and they went back on it. They did not follow through with it. And here are the Egyptians, after that tremendous blow they received. Here they are now, coming again after the children of Israel. There are three phrases that I want to stress tonight. And the first is found there in that verse that we read. Stand still. Stand still. And we liken that to waiting. You see, they thought they had finished, or Pharaoh was finished. And sometimes as young Christians, in the euphoria of their salvation, they fail to be told or fail to realize that the devil is a defeated foe, but he's not a finished foe. And many times as Christians, we fail to reckon on the power of Satan. Pharaoh was coming after them. He was a persistent enemy. He had not given up. He had been defeated, but he still wanted to bring the children of Israel back. He still wanted to bring them back into slavery. Because all of a sudden, when they left, the workmen they had to build his cities were gone. And I want to tell you something, friends. When a soul is rescued from the kingdom of darkness, and a soul is saved, that's why the devil gets, when he gets angry, and that's why he fights to keep people from coming to Christ. We have to understand that. There's a warfare. There's a battle that is raging. And Satan does not want his people to be taken out, as Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. He says, the Lord has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The devil is angry. When we see young believers coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to help and encourage them, because Satan wants to trip them up, to get them discouraged. He suffered a tremendous blow there in Egypt. Pharaoh did. But he was still on the track. He was still wanted the people back. You know, the scripture describes Satan's defeat in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, that is the Lord Jesus, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Praise God for Calvary. Praise God for Calvary. But we have to remember that the devil, his time of judgment is yet to come. And so he's still seeking, as the scripture says, he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, we need to fear him. But we also need to fear him when he comes as an angel of light. Because it's harder to discern when he comes as an angel of light. We need to be aware of him. And so, the writer John, in fact, in his first epistle,
He says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy or render inoperative the works of the devil. And so you and I need to understand that we're saved, but we've got an enemy that's still trying to trip us up. But I praise God. I praise the Lord for what the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a tremendous promise. Amen. Tremendous. Remember that. He, the Holy Spirit, indwelling us, is greater than he, the devil that's in the world. He may be powerful, but he's no match for the Lord God. Praise the Lord. But notice the problem they encountered. They were by the Red Sea, and everything was going well. They were encamped, and the sea was before them, the hills around them, and suddenly they see the cloud of dust to the rear of them. And perhaps the scouts that would go out, they said, would you believe Pharaoh is coming with his chariots and his army, and he's coming to take us back to Egypt? Have you ever been in a circumstance not like that, but in circumstances when you feel that you're boxed in and nowhere to go? Sure we have. There are times when we feel we don't know where to turn, we don't know what to do. The children of Israel were just like that. The Red Sea in front of them, hills or mountains on the sides of them, and Pharaoh's army coming fast behind them. How do we react when we encounter difficult times? You know, this preaching that you hear so much of today, this health and wealth and stuff that's being preached, it's false, you know. I hate to burst some people's bubbles, but listen, these people are preaching something that the Bible does not teach. It's what they think the Word of God teaches. The Lord Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but in me you will have peace. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And you know, they're promising, when people come to Christ, they're promising a rosy bed, a wonderful pathway. They fail to reckon and understand that the devil will put stumbling blocks along the way. And we will encounter problems, and we will encounter difficulties. But praise God. You know, I like that verse in Isaiah 43, verse 2. It doesn't say if you pass, it says when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. He doesn't say if, he says when. And there are times in our lives when we will encounter sometimes a very dark and difficult situation. But praise God. The Lord says, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But you see, it's how we react in difficult situations. The Israelites, they were afraid. They cried out. Verse 10. And then they started they said, well, you know what? Why did you bring us out here to die? We'd have been better back in Egypt as slaves. And they were afraid, and they murmured, and they complained. Why did you bring us out here to die? God never promised that he would kill them in the wilderness. He said, I will bring you out of Egypt, and I am going to bring you into the land of Canaan. But oh, I tell you, so many times as you read in the journeys of the children of Israel through the wilderness, they grumbled, they complained, they murmured. You see, they were looking at the army of Pharaoh through the natural eye, or with the lack of faith. They had failed to reckon and respond and rely on the promises that God had made them. I am going to bring you out. I am going to carry you in, and I'm going to go before you. I will drive out the enemy. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. Beloved, let me tell you something. When we're in difficult circumstances and sometimes we don't know where to turn, that's when we need to rely and rest on the promises that God has made us, made to us. Oh, the promises of God's word. You see, they looked at the problem and not at the problem solver. They looked at the problem at the army of Pharaoh and failed to recognize, to realize that God was on their side. That cloudy pillar that led them was there. The presence of God, which turned into a pillar of fire at night, giving them light for the camp. God was in their midst. Is it wonderful to know that the Lord is in our midst? And He is with us. Sometimes, you know, we fail to realize who we serve. The Almighty God. The God of the universe. The Creator of the universe. Even now, with the modern technology, they're discovering that there are galaxies and universes out there far beyond what they ever thought there was. Thank God for that wonderful hymn we sang, the first verse. How great thou art. We need to understand the greatness and realize and recognize the greatness of our God. You know, we need to rely on the promises of God's word. Claim the promises. We sing that hymn, standing on the promises of Christ my King. But do we really believe the promises? Do we really rely on the promises of God's word? I think of some of the promises He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Turn your burden to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We all know that. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. Literally, He will make our path straight. There are many other promises that we have. We need to stand upon the promise and not just sing about it. We need to stand on them, as the hymn says. You see, they forgot the deliverance that God had given them. He had brought them out of Egypt. They forgot or didn't stop to think of the plagues that was set upon the land of Egypt. And I think of the plague of darkness. While the darkness so intense it could be felt, no light could penetrate it, blanketed the land of Egypt. The Bible says there was light in the houses of the children of Israel. Then when God delivered them in the Passover night, wherever the blood was applied, they were safe. The Egyptians saw from Pharaoh's palace right on down through the land of Egypt. There was no protection, there was no blood, and they died. How easy we forget sometimes what our God can do. And then we see that in this circumstance, they started to complain. I've learned some things in recent years, going through some very difficult circumstances. But I can tell you one thing. When you start to rejoice in the promises of God's word, start, you know what's going to happen? We start to praise the Lord. And when we praise Him, He just lifts us up. And He raises us up. And we just begin to exalt Him because of who He is. What He said He's going to do, and what He will do. Notice the promise that they received. The Lord said to them, stand still. Stand still. That's a difficult command. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. The Egyptians who you see today, you will see no more forever. The Lord will be light for you. Hold your peace. Stop murmuring. Stand still. That's a difficult command, isn't it? And sometimes the Lord wants us, in the situation we're in, not to do anything, just be still. That's a very difficult thing. I know. I know, I understand. You know, human nature says, but we need to be doing something. The Lord says, be still. Be still. Stand still. Don't do anything. I want you to see what I am going to do. Don't you try to solve the problem in your own strength. Let me show you how I am going to bring you through. Let me show you how I am going to handle the situation. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See what I am going to do. You know, the Lord wanted them to take their eyes off of the problem, the Egyptian army that was coming along very fast up behind them. He wanted them to focus upon Him. Perhaps you're going through a problem, a difficult circumstance. I want to encourage you. Listen to what the Lord says. Just be still. Say, Lord, first of all, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this? And Lord, I commit this situation, I commit this problem to you, and I ask you, Lord, I'm going to stand still and let you work. And then when we see how the Lord works, we said, oh my goodness me. I'm so glad I didn't react. I'm so glad that I didn't move when God said to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You see, the Lord wanted to remind them that He was still in control, that He would deliver them. I think of the 46th Psalm, which is a favorite psalm, one of my favorite psalms. It begins, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed, the mountains be shaken and cast into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar, and the earth is trembles, it shakes, the mountains shake. Think of it now. The earth is trembling, the mountains are shaking. Some of them are tumbling into the sea, and the sea is just in a tremendous uproar. And the Lord says, I'm your refuge, I'm your strength. All of this going on around you, He says, I'm there. It's interesting in that psalm, the next verse, the psalmist says, there is a river. Notice the scene changes. There's no longer the roaring of the waters and the trembling of the mountains and the earth and some of the mountains tumbling into the sea and just making it worse. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of our God, the holy place of His tabernacle. You think of a peaceful river flowing. The Lord wants to bring us into the peaceful the peace of His presence. I can't quote all of the psalm tonight. But you know, in the seventh verse, He says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. Remember Elijah on the mountain. There was the earthquake, the wind, that ferocious wind, the fire. It says, but God was not in. And then what? A still, small voice. Sometimes we need to just be still and hear Him say that I am God. And then the psalm ends with a repetition of verse 7. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And it ends with that little word, Selah. Pause. Think about it. And so the Lord said, stand still. But now He says a second thing. He says, now go forward. What? The sea is in front of us. How are we going to do that? Then the Lord says, go forward. They would have to step forward in faith. Yes, the sea was in front of them, but God was at work. And so he says, now Moses, lift up the rod. Stretch out the rod over the sea. Go forward? Yes. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now he's going to see it. And when Moses stretched out that rod over the sea, God did exactly what he said he was going to do. And the sea parted. A wall of water on this side and a wall of water here. And dry land. It says they went over on dry ground. They were not sloshing through the muck that you'd find when water leaves place. Some have suggested that the Lord actually put a road right across the sea. Made a roadway in the sea. He says, now go forward. The Lord gave them that command to go forward. They saw the power of God. Oh, listen, when the Lord says to us to stand still, we should stand still and see what he's going to do. When he says, go forward, you say, but you know, I don't see the pathway. He says, that's all right. I'm going before you. Because the cloudy pillar that was leading them went behind them. That always went in front of them, went behind them. The presence of the Lord. And he was a barrier between the Israelites and the Egyptians. What a mighty God we serve. Sometimes we don't really appreciate who he is and what he will do. But that's what he did. The pillar that led them, as the end of chapter 13 tells us, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them, led the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could go see by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before his people. Now, we don't have a literal pillar of fire, but I'm so glad that God the Holy Spirit indwells us. And the Lord Jesus referred to him. He said, I will pray the Father and he will send you another comforter or one like unto myself. He is the comforter. He is the helper. He is the one who is there to guide and direct us. He is the one that is there to lead us. And so the pillar of fire, the cloudy pillar rather, goes behind them. And they had the protection of the Lord, the protection of the Lord, his presence, but also his protection. You remember the story of Elisha when the army came against him. And his servant comes and he says, the army is out there. What are we going to do? Very calmly, Elisha says, they that are with us are more than they that are with them. And then he prayed a prayer. He said, oh Lord, open the young man's eyes. And when his eyes were opened, the hosts of heaven were there to protect them. Sometimes we wonder if the Lord is with us. Remember this. He says, I will never leave you. I will never, no, never, no. And you keep repeating it, never leave you. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. And the children of Israel crossed over. The pillar of fire gave them light and they crossed over. But it was darkness to the Egyptians. Listen, beloved. The Bible tells us that you and I are light. We were once darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. And we're to walk as children of light. Remember this, those that are without Christ are in darkness. That's why they need the life-giving, liberating message of the gospel. But we have light. Walk in it. Walk in it. So that which was light to the Israelites was darkness to the Egyptians. And the scripture says, they crossed over. They crossed over. Verse 14, rather 19 of chapter 14, it says, the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. And the Egyptians still pursuing, the relentless enemy, still pursuing. But when the Israelites were crossed, the first thing God just started to trouble there, the wheels, and they started to suddenly that road that was so solid for the children of Israel to walk upon, things got shaky. The chariot wheels started to come off. They started to bog down, and they realized, the Egyptians realized, that the God of the universe was fighting for the children of Israel. And when everyone was crossed, God said, Moses, stretch out the rod. And the sea came together and drowned the Egyptian army. The scripture says at the end of chapter 14, it says they saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Oh, praise the Lord for the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then there's a third one I just want to leave with you tonight. There was standing still. There was going forward, and then there was singing to the Lord. I don't have time to go through chapter 15, but take a little while tonight and just meditate upon chapter 15. They sung a song. They were able to sing. Grumbling is gone. Singing comes in its place. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to be able to sing the praises of the Lord. And I want to tell you something. When you start to sing and to praise the Lord, you know what? He just lifts you up. To sing his praises. They sang the song of praise. I just want to leave a simple outline of chapter, the singing of the song, rather, in chapter 15. Notice that the object of their worship is the Lord. Verse 2 says, I will sing. Verse 1, I will sing to the Lord. For he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is the God. He is my God, and I will praise him in my father's God, and I will exalt him. You notice that they began with praise. Praise. And notice what the theme of the first five verses is. The Lord is glorious in his triumph. Remember when they were in Egypt and slaves? There was no singing. They couldn't sing a song. When the Jews were carried into Babylon, some of the Babylonians said, sing us some of the songs of Zion. They said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? But we who know the Lord, we can sing the Lord's song and we can sing his praises. We're in a foreign land because we're strangers and pilgrims. This world is not our home. We're going on to glory. And let me tell you something, we're going to sing in glory. So you better start practicing down here, folks. Because we're going to sing in glory. You say, I can't carry a tune. That's okay. When we get home to glory, we're going to have perfect pitch. No one will be singing off key. There'll be perfect pitch. I've known a few people who had that. Brother Tom was, many years ago, at a camp in Mississippi. There was a blind brother there playing the piano accordion. And a bullfrog started, out there in the outskirts, and they were around the campfire that night. And he said, my brother's blind. He says, that bullfrog is croaking in B flat below middle C. Touched on the accordion. Same thing. Boom. Same thing. Perfect pitch. Brother Tony, that's good to have, eh? Yeah. But in glory, I believe we'll all sing. But you know, we need to sing the Lord's song down here. They sang. They didn't sing when they were on the other side of the Red Sea, but they could sing now because they saw the salvation of the Lord. Oh, beloved, listen. We need to be praising the Lord. We need to be worshiping the Lord. There was a little, I was taken by the little saying in the bulletin, past week's bulletin. No day is complete without worship. I believe the Christian life, our life should be, our lifestyle should be that of praise and worship. We should be a praising people. What does Hebrews 13 and verse 15 say? By Him, the Lord Jesus, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God, what? Continually. Which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in His name. They sang. So verses 1 to 5, they praise God because He was glorious in His power. Rather, in His triumph. Verses 6 to 10, He's glorious in His power. They experienced firsthand the power of God. They looked at the Egyptians' bodies floating and coming into shore. They saw it. And they exalted the Lord. He is glorious in His power. We praise the Lord for His power. We sang that beautiful hymn, How Great Thou Art. Think of that third verse. When I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. Then sings my soul. Oh, listen. Take time to praise and worship the Lord every day. It's a wonderful thing to do. In our praying. Before they did anything else, they praised the Lord. They sang His praises. Glorious in His power. And then the latter part of this beautiful song of praise is glorious in His holiness. The Israelites realized that the God they worshipped, the God they served, was not only a powerful God, not only a God who could triumph, but He was a God of holiness. Notice very quickly in verse 11, He says, they said, Who is like You, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like You, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out Your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You in Your mercy have led forth the people whom You have redeemed. You guided them in Your strength to Your holy habitation. The God we serve is a holy God. There's so much today. I really feel that we've lost a sense in the church. When I say this, I'm talking in a broad spectrum. I believe sometimes we've lost the truth of the holiness of God. People are playing around with the Lord. He is a God of love, yes, but He is a holy God. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah in chapter 5, He threw out woe after woe after woe. But then in chapter 6, He said, I saw also the Lord, high and lifted up. I heard the seraphim singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And Isaiah cried out, Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the Lord. Then one of the seraphim flew, took a live coal from off the altar, probably the altar of incense, touched His lips. Your lips are cleansed. Your sin is taken away. And then Isaiah, he not only saw the holiness of God, but he also saw the need of man. The Lord says, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Here am I, send me. Now can you imagine being called and then the Lord says, you're going to preach, but they're not going to listen to you. But the idea is that it was the holiness of God. A lot of stuff that goes on in the Christian church. In the name of the Lord, it's degrading to the holiness of our God. He is a holy God. But He's also a merciful God, as we have in that passage. And then in that passage also, He's a redeeming God. He's a redeeming God. He's redeemed us. And then, He's a promise-keeping God. Verse 17, you will bring them in and plant them in the mountains of your inheritance. In the place, O Lord, which you have made, for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. He's a promise-keeping God. Takes that beautiful song of praise. Spend a little time in it and just worship the Lord. But it all began with the words, stand still and see. Are you going through a difficult time? Facing perhaps a problem or maybe a decision that, you know, you don't know what to do and where to turn. Maybe it's good just sometimes to stand still and see what God will do. That beautiful song that Stuart Hamlin wrote many years ago. It is no secret what God can do. Let's trust the Lord. And beloved, if we're not doing this, cultivate in our lives every day. Take time out to praise the Lord, just to love Him and to worship Him. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts, encourage us, use it to encourage us, and if you are passing through difficult times, take Psalm 46 and just meditate upon it. Tremendous psalm. May the Lord bless His word. Father, we want to thank Thee tonight for Thy word, for this tremendous passage, Lord, of the redemption of the children of Israel, not from Egypt, but for the delivering them from the horror of the Egyptian army, when everything seems so dark and without any help and any hope in sight. O God, we thank You that You said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Then You said to go forward when the sea was still with no pathway. Then, O Lord, You said to Thy servant Moses, raise up the rod, stretch it out over the sea. Lord, You took Your children through with the wall of water on either side on dry land. And Lord, You've promised to be with us, and we claim those promises. And we pray tonight for some who may have a passing through a very difficult time. They don't know where to turn or what to do. Help them tonight to rest and rely on You, O God. Bless everyone. Meet needs with Thy word, we pray tonight. For we ask it in that precious name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Let's sing 377. 377. We stand and sing this, and then the meeting will be over. The Lord bless you, encourage you, and make you a blessing. 377. What a fellowship. What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Let's stand as we sing, and then the meeting will be over. Keep on praising the Lord, beloved. It's a wonderful thing to do.